afternoon, everybody. We are in the midst of going through Parshas B'Shalach, which is a very important parsha, as are all the parshas HaTorah. But one of the messages that we learn in this week's parsha is about Vayelchu Shloshes Yamim Bamidmar. The Jewish people are traveling after their experience in the Yamsuf, after they sing the Shira, and they go 3 days in the Midbar Velo Matzu Mayim, and they don't have any water to sustain themselves, to take care of themselves. Vayavo Marasa, and they come to this place called Mara, Velo Yachlu Lishtos Mayim. Finally, they do find the source of water, but they realize that the water is sour, it is not sweet, and they begin to complain, and the Torah continues on to explain what happened on that occasion. So the famous Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis picks up on this idea, Vayelchu Shloshes Yamim Bamidbar Velo Matzu Mayim, that the Jewish people travel 3 days in the desert, and they are not able to find a source of water. Says the Gemara, from here we learn that this not only means they were not able to find physical water, but it means they were not able to find for themselves spiritual water. As we know, says the Gemara, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, whenever we refer to Mayim, or very often when we refer to Mayim in Chumash or in Tanakh, it is a reference to the study of Torah. As we know, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Hoy Kol Tzamei L'chula Mayim, anyone who is thirsty should come and drink the water. And therefore, says the Gemara, it seems that they went 3 days without learning Torah, and that is why spiritually they were almost dead. Spiritually they almost collapsed, because the Jewish people cannot have such a situation where they go 3 days without Torah. Now, parenthetically, the Prima Gadam asks, didn't they say Kriya Shema every day? Didn't they say Kriya Shema every day? So how could it be they went 3 days without Torah? So much so that the Gemara tells us we had to make an institution. Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin, they were going to have Kriya HaTorah every Monday and Thursday. This way, it's impossible that you go 3 days without Talmud Torah, because you come to Shul on Monday, come to Shul on Thursday, and then you have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. It's impossible that you don't learn. Ask the Prima Gadim, what do you mean? You're learning every day when you say Kriyashma. And the Gemara says in Nedarim and in Menachos and other places that when you say Kriyashma, it is a form of Talmud Torah. So how can you explain this Gemara where we're told that it seems that they went 3 days without water, if in fact it's impossible for a Jew to go 3 days without learning Torah, even before the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, to learn Kriyas HaTorah during the week? That is the question of the Prima Gadim. He gives some kind of answer. I think the question is probably better than the answer that he suggests, but either way, it's something to consider, it's something to think about. I saw an incredible insight in the Sefer Taima Dekra, which is the Sefer of Rab Chaim Kanievsky on Chumash, where he writes, why is it that the Torah specifically chooses to tell us that learning Torah is similar to water? Why, in particular, do we choose water over many other substances? So, it's true that you find in other Gemaras that Torah is Nimshal Ala'esh, and Torah is Nimshal Ala'midbar, other things, but why is it specifically that we find water? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes as follows, based on a Psak and Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simon Reish Dalid, where we're taught, Hashosa Mayim Shelo Litzamo, somebody who drinks water not because they're thirsty, but because, let's say, they have something stuck in their throat, or because their throat is very, I don't know why else you would do. You have to get a pill down. Not because you're thirsty, but because you have to get a pill down or something stuck there. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Sarach Levarich. You do not have to make a bracha on water if you're only drinking the water to get a pill down or because you have something stuck in your throat. When we're talking about other drinks, when we're talking about other substances, you have to make a bracha regardless, because you have hanah from the soda or from the chocolate or from the coffee, whatever you're going to drink, you're going to have the hana regardless. But by water, we assume that it's made to be pretty bland. And unless you're drinking it litsamo, unless you're drinking it because you're thirsty, we assume that a bracha does not have to be recited. Says Rab Chaim Kanievsky, that is the same when it comes to Talmud Torah. A person who is forced to learn Torah, a person who does not learn Torah with a cheshek because they're interested in doing it, will never feel the bracha that comes out of the experience of learning Torah. You will never feel the consummate experience that you're supposed to have when you study Torah. And that's why specifically he writes, we say that of all substances, the Torah is Nimshal Olamayim. Even though it seems pretty bland, it's not so exciting, but you only have to make a bracha on it when you drink it, litzama, when you drink it because you have an interest in drinking it. And that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that a person will only be successful in Limud HaTorah b'makom shaliba chafetz, which means not only in the physical place where you are comfortable, if you're not crammed in a Beis Medrash, if there's too much noise, if there's too quiet, everybody has their own specific things that they need in order to concentrate, but so much so the Gemara says, b'makom shaliba chafetz means the place in Torah which really speaks to you. You cannot have others tell you what exactly is the proper way to learn Torah or the proper way to where you should focus your energies. Everybody has their own part of Torah that is interesting to them, and that speaks to them more than other areas. So the Chafetz Chaim, I was told, has this insight as well. I couldn't find it, but somebody told me that it predates Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but it's a beautiful insight. I was reminded when I saw that idea that Torah is nimshel alamayim, and the simchas haTorah is something that we have to keep at the forefront of our minds in order to be successful in Talmud Torah. So I was reminded that the Kli Yakar has such a beautiful insight when we're told that Yaakov and Esav have the encounter with each other, and Yaakov is nervous from his brother Esav, and he runs away. And Esav says, "Yikuvu yimei evel achi va'aharga, yikuvu yimei evel avi va'aharga asachi." You know what's going to happen? I'm not going to kill my brother while I'm such a tzaddik. I'm not going to kill my brother while my father Yitzchak is alive. He's going to have so much agnes nefesh if he sees one brother killing another. So the Torah says that Esav says to himself, "I'll wait until my brother is no longer, when we don't have to worry about our father any longer. I'll wait until Yitzchak dies." Va'harga asachi. So Rashi quotes the Medrash there. Why was he going to wait until his brother died? I'm sorry. Why was he going to wait until the father died in order to kill his brother Yaakov? So the answer that the Medrash gives is because he knew that an avel aser b'talmud Torah. And since an avel is aser b'talmud Torah, since an avel can't learn Torah, what was protecting Yaakov Avinu from being killed was the fact that he was always studying Torah. Yaakov ishtam yashiva halim. So he's going to wait until Yaakov is sitting shiva for his father Yitzchak, and then he won't be able to study Torah, and then that's when I'm going to have the opportunity to kill him. That was Esav's cheshbon. It sounds like a big lamdan to me, but that's what they explained. So it's not Rashi on Chumash. I think it's the Kli Yakar on Chumash. Someone says that Bart, one of the Mefarshim in the Mikros Gedolos. So the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, asked the question, I don't understand. We know there's a big discussion about, it's true that an Avil Aser B'Talmud Torah, an Avil is not supposed to learn Torah, but that's when we're talking about Torah that is pertaining to other areas of Torah. But what about if the Avil chooses to learn Torah that is relevant to the Avelos? Obviously we know, you come to a Shiva house very often and you see there are many Svarim open about Hilchos Avelos, and they're looking up Shilas, so obviously you're allowed to learn Torah that is relevant to the Avelos itself. So what do you think the Shiva house of Yaakov Avinu look like when he's sitting Shiva for his father Yitzchak? Do you think he was sitting there cracking jokes like when we go to a Shiva house and people are talking about everything but the Niftar like you're supposed to? No, that's probably not what happened. Yaakov Avinu is probably sitting there with the Shulchan Aruch opened up, looking through Hilchos Avelos, learning Maseches Ma'id Katan, learning all the halachos that he's supposed to know for this time of his life. So why does the Kli Yakar write that Esau was convinced he's going to wait until his brother is sitting Shiva for the father, and then an Avil Aser B'Talmud Torah, and that's when I'm going to be able to get him? What do you mean that's when you're going to be able to get him? Yaakov Avinu is going to be learning Torah during that stage in his life as well. What are you going to gain? You won't be able to kill him then either. Writes the Imayam is such a powerful word. He says the answer is, yes, it's true that Yaakov Avinu will be learning Torah even during Shiva, but the quality of the Torah that he's going to be learning then is not going to be Torah B'Simcha. The quality of the Torah that Yaakov Avinu is going to be learning while he is sitting Shiva is not going to be Torah that is learned b'simcha. And he says, when you don't have Torah that is learned b'simcha, that is not considered to be the highest level of Talmud Torah, and that will not save a person from the dangers out there. When the Gemara says, Torah magin o matzel, when we say that Torah is able to save a person and shield a person from harm, that is only when you have the complete experience of what Talmud Torah is supposed to be. But when a person has an experience that is an incomplete experience, that is something that is not considered to be a complete form of Talmud Torah, and that would not have saved Yaakov Avinu from his brother Esav. And this is something Rav Asher Weiss mentioned on many occasions, that the Kloizemiger Rebbe asked him as a young child, why is it, he noticed, why is it that we have two psukim in Chumash in which we use the mashal of dvash and chalav? One is when we come to extol the virtues of Eretz Yisrael, and we say it is an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Eretz Yisrael has everything, it is flowing with milk and honey. And yet when we talk about learning Torah, the Navi tells us also this formulation of Chalav Udvash, but it's in the opposite direction, we're told. Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech, which seems to be backwards from the Pasuk in describing Eretz Yisrael. So why is that? So the Kloizemiger Rebbe suggested his own answer, but Rav Asher Weiss as a child suggested maybe the answer is that there's a major distinction between those two psukim. When you're coming to describe the experience of what it means to be living in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to convince the people that this is a worthy endeavor, this is something that is worthwhile, you should take all of your money and invest it in Eretz Yisrael, you should take your families and go there. Now, how am I going to convince the people that is living off the Shechina, that is living off of Anani Akava, living off of the Man, how am I going to convince them they should go to Eretz Yisrael? What do I have to tell them to sell them on the land? The answer is, you have to tell them it's an Eretz that has chalav, it has all the essentials, it has everything a person can ever want. Chalav is the staple of society. Everybody needs milk. So we first have to convince the people it has chalav. On top of that, we say, you're going to be so happy with your experience in Eretz Yisrael, because it also has the dvash. Not only does it have the essentials, but it also has that which is on top of the essentials. It also has so much more than just the basics of what a society needs. That is when we come to refer to Eretz Yisrael, when we come to convince people that Eretz Yisrael is worthy of their attention. However, when we talk about the study of Torah, we have to first emphasize the Dvash, and that's why the Torah there says, Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. The first opinion that a person needs to have when learning Torah is the sweetness, the excitement, the unbelievable experience of what Talmud Torah is supposed to be, and therefore when the Navi tells us about Talmud Torah, we are told in the opposite direction. Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. The first thing that a person engages when learning Torah is the sweet sincerity of what Torah is supposed to mean to all of us and the sweet feeling that Torah should give all of us as we study it. And this is the famous comment made by one of the Gdolei HaRishonim, Rabbeinu Avram in Ahar, who says on Maseches Nedarim, it is not my find, this is something many Acharonim quote, that when we have this idea of having simcha whenever we perform a mitzvah, which is an idea that we find, we should always be besimcha when we perform a mitzvah. We should be excited about the fact that we have the opportunity to serve Hashem. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, our obligation is far more obligatory. Our obligation to have simcha is not just an asterisk, it's not just a side point when we do the mitzvah, it is essential for the mitzvah itself. And writes Rabbeinu Avram in Ahar, mitzvah halimud, the definition of what it means to learn Torah, ikar hatzivu hu kedei letzayir ha'emes, in order that a person should really understand what the truth is. Obviously, that's what we try to do when we learn Torah. However, he writes that an integral part of what it means to learn Torah is lehis'aneg v'lehenos b'mada l'smach levavo v'sichlo. One of the most integral parts of what it means to learn Torah is that a person should have simcha as they do it, because you're coming to an understanding of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is all about, of what his Torah represents, and of our relationship with him. And therefore, he writes, that is why the Torah says, "Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev," because that is the greatest thing that should make us happy. And this is something that the Avni Nezer writes as well, very powerful insight, where he says, "Shamati Mitzas Bnei Adam," I have had conversations with some people where they make a mistake. He says they make a very critical mistake when it comes to their engagement in Talmud Torah. Now, what mistake do they make? It's not that they're not learning. Of course they're learning. So what mistake do they make? Writes the Avnei Nezer Ba'amram, because they say, when a person has a good chiddush, when a person has simcha, when a person has joy from the Torah that they learn, a person feels, it can't be that I'm really learning Torah Lishma if I'm having so much simcha. Why can I have so much simcha? I'm really supposed to have a bland experience. This way I'm showing I'm doing it for the real reason. I'm doing it just l'shem shamayim. Says the Avnei Nezer, there are many people who believe that. And therefore he says, this is all a mistake. And he says, Be'emez zehu tos mufursam. This is a great mistake v'yadur rabba. Ki zehu ikar mitzvas limad ha-Torah. This is the most integral part of Limud HaTorah, that a person should feel the simcha as they learn. That is the only way to make the Torah a real part of who we are. If we make sure that we never go shloshes yamim velo matzumayim, that we never go through an experience of having 3 days without really fully appreciating what Torah means to us and how much we're supposed to engage in what it means to have Talmud Torah. And as we mentioned before, the reason, perhaps, why Torah is nimshel alamayim of all substances in the world is because, like the Shulchan Aruch says, the only time you make a bracha on mayim is when you're shosel at samo. The greatest experience we can have when we engage in Talmud Torah is when we make sure that it is litzamo, that it is something that we are so excited about, that we're so interested in doing, that our engagement is worthy of this endeavor. It is something that's worthy of our time, and it is something that will make us happy in life. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, and that is something that is so important to come away from this experience that Klal Yisrael had. Shloshes yam v'lo matzumayim chalila. We should never have that experience, that opportunity again in our history, but this is something that so much guides every moment of our day, every moment of our lives, and it is something that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us from the outset. This is why he made the Takana from then, that we have to have Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos in order to make sure that we will never have that experience as Jews going through a couple of days of the week without having Talmud Torah as the central focus of our lives. Reb Hanani ben Akash Omer.